When I met you in the summer, to my heartbeat sound, we fell in love as the leaves turn brown. And we could be together, baby, as long as skies are blue. You act so innocent now, but you lied so soon. When I met you in the summer,
Sports Talk of the Berg, coming live at you from RMU Radio, Patrick Henry Center in Moon Township, Pennsylvania. I'm Zach Laufer, and this is Sports Talk of the Berg on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. I guess, as you can tell, Dylan's not here with us again tonight. He's stuck in Bergerstown again. He sends his thoughts and good wishes to you all from Bergerstown for the show. But as I mentioned last week, today is a very special show. It's our very first annual, hopefully we get to do this more than once, 2015 Pittsburgh Pirates season preview. Just a little snippet of what we got going on for this next hour. We got a lot to talk about for the Pirates. We're also going to be talking a little bit of Penguins throughout because they're coming down the home stretch of their season. So there's a couple things going on in there. But we got a couple video, a couple audio clips to show you all, or to let you listen to, with a couple different views on how the Pirates season is going to take. I'll give you my predictions on how the Pirates season will end up, also along with individual players and the team in general. We have the projected lineup for at least the beginning of the season and the projected starting rotation. I'll give you some stats on all the players, what they did last year, what they look to do again this year. And what else was I going to say? What we did last year. I guess that's about it. Again, I'll if you want to weigh in on how you think the Buccos will do, the number to call is 412-397-6816. Or hit me up on Twitter at Zach Laufer, ZACHLAUFER. If you want to be heard, let your voice be heard. Lines are always open because, you know, they're always open. And I'm always open to hear from you. But once we come back from this break, I'll give you a little Penguins update and then we'll jump right in to the Penguins talk. The Pirates talk. Excuse me. Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah. So, when we come back from this break right now, we'll talk a little Penguins first, and then we'll jump right into the Pirates season preview 2015 on Sports Talk in the Berg, RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.
My lover's got humor. She's a giggle at a funeral. Knows everybody's disapproval. I should have worshipped her sooner. If the heavens ever did speak, she's the last true mouthpiece. Every Sunday's getting more bleak. A fresh poison each week. We were born sick, you heard them say it. My church offers no absolutes. She tells me worship in the bedroom. Heaven I'll be sent to is when I'm alone with you. I was born sick, but I love it. Command me to be well. Amen. 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 Take me to church, I'll worship like a dog. Shout!
This update is provided by Colonial Sports Center, airing every Thursday night on RMU-TV, Colonial Sports Center, CSC. The Final Four is set for NCAA March Madness 2015. The number one seed Kentucky out of the Midwest region will face off against number one seed Wisconsin coming out of the West. And the number seven seed Michigan State will coming out of the East region will face off against number one seed Duke from the South region. This will all take place in Indianapolis, Indiana, this Saturday, April 4th. This Saturday, April 4th, the Final Four takes place. Three number one seeds, one seven seed. It's going to be exciting, and no one told me that what their Final Four predictions were, so I can't give out the pencil. I got three out of the four right. Just saying, once again, this update is provided by Colonial Sports Center every Thursday night on RMU-TV. When we come back from this break.
Juicy J. Let's rage.
I knew you were gonna come to me.
And here you are,
but you better choose carefully.
'Cause I'm
capable of anything, and everything.
Make me your Aphrodite. Make me your
Sports Talk in the Berg, back with you live. I guess you can tell that I'm trying the update thing again. I don't know. I think it's easier to do it that way than waiting a whole break and then trying to fit everything in an hour. But, you know, it's up for debate. Since Dylan's not here, I don't know what he thinks of it, but we'll find out what he thinks of it the next time he comes back for our show. Just a little reminder, next week we will not be having our show once again because of the Easter holiday. But we will be back April 13th and then after the 13th we will have, let's see, after the 13th we will have two more shows, so three more shows after tonight before the semester is over, and you will not have to hear my voice for an entire summer. So good for you, and I'm happy that I got to be with you all for these past two semesters, and I'm sure Dylan would say the same, and we'll be happy to do it again next semester if we give him the opportunity. But let's get right into it. The Penguins, like I said, we're going to be talking about the Penguins real quick before we jump into the Pirates season preview. The Penguins had four games this past week. Now they are 42-23-11, and they are tied for second in the Metropolitan Division with six games left in their regular season. Tuesday, they play the St. Louis Blues, lost 3-2 in overtime. There was a lot of talk after that game that they thought maybe the team was going on a real downward spiral. They had lost five out of the last six after that game had taken place. And once that overtime game came to fruition and they lost so quickly in OT, a lot of people thought, okay, maybe maybe this is the beginning of the end of the Penguins season. Because at that point, they were, again, tied with the Islanders. And they were only 2 points ahead of the Capitals for the third spot in the Metro. And if the Capitals would have won, they would have dropped out of the top three tier in the Metro down into the wild card spot. And they would have been, they literally would have gone from fourth to eighth in a matter of a day had the Capitals won that night. But they did not. Jumped to Thursday, they went to Carolina to play the Hurricanes, and they just got outclassed, outplayed, out everything. They lost 5-2. Saturday, again Thursday. At that point, people were thinking, okay, this is definitely not looking good. Lost 6 out of 7. And then came Saturday versus Phoenix. They returned Malkin and Hornquist to the lineup, so you would have thought that any of the problems they had offensively, at least some of them, that would have been solved by the return of two of their highest scorers this season. But it didn't seem that way through the first 2.5 periods. Halfway through the third period, they were down 1-0, looking like they were going to en route to lose again, 7 out of their last 8, heading on a downward spiral into the playoffs, which is the opposite of what you want to be heading into the Stanley Cup playoffs. But they battled back, and they secured a 3-2 victory over the Coyotes. And although they came out of there with a win, they were lucky to get out of there with a win because they were up 3-1. They scored 3 straight goals. And then Arizona pulled their goalie with about 2.5 minutes left, and they scored. They cashed in on a goal, which made it a 1-goal game. And for the last minute and a half or so, the win was in doubt. Thomas Greiss was in net, although he had played very well that entire game. It goes to show you that you can never be sure of a victory, even after scoring 3 straight goals in a matter of 7 minutes. But again, they escaped with the win. And that was important for probably the players' mental psyche, if anything, if not for the fans' psyche is also. One setback that they suffered in that game was that star defenseman Chris Letang suffered yet another concussion to add to the Penguins' list of concussed players this season and from years past. Letang has suffered from concussions also in his career. This isn't his first time, and not his first rodeo. He was taken to the hospital after suffering a collision on his head, collision that he suffered in the second period in that game when he cleared the puck after a power play was done, and Arizona forward Shane Doan came and shoved him. He went about 10 feet backwards, sliding on his butt into the end boards, smacked his head off of him, off the boards, and was noticeably woozy and shaken up. Again, he was taken to the hospital, released the next day. But now they had released that he will be out at least 1 to 2 weeks with a concussion. But my guess would be it would be more up to 3 weeks, which would put him not being able to return to the lineup until the first round of the playoffs. So, and the way that the Penguins have been playing lately, you wouldn't think they would even make it out of the first round, even with Letang there. So it is crucial that they get him healed up and get those concussion symptoms down, in that they can get him back on the ice as soon as possible. In other injury news, fellow defenseman Christian Ehrhoff, among the long list of concussed players, is still listed as day-to-day with an apparent head injury. Ehrhoff has been sidelined prolonged this season. He's missed 13 games so far this season. Looking to add to that Wednesday. Again, he's only listed as day-to-day, but they haven't released an actual injury, as most hockey teams do not. Unlike football, where if a player sprains his toe, you get like an exact percentage of how much he's ready, and he'll be ready in 3 days, and if that injury turns out to be something worse, you get an instant update because of the fantasy football, how big that is. But in hockey, it's not the same. There are some times when players just go down with quote-unquote undisclosed injuries, and you don't know what's wrong with them. I mean, you can make an educated guess, but you really have no idea when they're going to be back, how severe it is. So with Erhoff, we really don't know at this point. We're going to have to keep being updated by the team on that. Sunday, yesterday, they played a game in Pittsburgh against San Jose, and they won 3-2 in a shootout. And this could be – this is a really hard-fought game. This is a very good game. It was a clean game. There were a couple power plays. Both teams cashed in on these power plays. But it was pretty equal throughout. And it was tied 2-2. The Penguins went up early 2-0 in the first period. The second period, the Sharks came back, scored 2 goals. In the third period, no scoring. Went to overtime. And a minute into the OT, the Penguins had to fight off a 4-minute double minor because Hornquist drew blood on a high-sticking penalty. And this 4-on-3 penalty kill that the Penguins successfully killed 3 minutes and 49 seconds of overtime, a 4-on-3 penalty minutes, which was pretty substantial considering what they've been doing in these past couple weeks of the season. So just for the fact that they were able to kill off that penalty, get it to a shootout, the crowd and console was decibel. The decibel level was it was numbing. It was I could hear it through the TV, and you could hear the announcers, Paul Staggerwald and Bob Airy, say they've never heard console that loud before, even in a playoff game. And I could understand why. Just of how poorly the Penguins have been playing over these past couple weeks, to have something like that, a penalty kill in overtime. And of course, you wouldn't have it any other way. They won 2-0 in the shootout, securing the 3-2 victory. I think you can say with a strong certainty that was a turning point in the season. After losing, as I said, 6 of the last 7, and to come back on the weekend and win 2 back-to-back games, I think was huge. Not only for the standings, because now they're tied for second, and their seeding would in the playoffs right now will be 4th. Not only that, but like I said before, how it helped the fans, it helped the players themselves. I mean, losing is not good, and when you lose consistently, you start to wonder what you could have done differently. And you start questioning everything, no matter if it's working well or not. So I think getting these 2 victories, getting that huge penalty kill, boosted the morale, if anything. And we'll see how that transpires over this next week. This week they have 3 games. Wednesday they're at home against the Flyers, who are 30-29-17, 5th in the Metro. Saturday they travel to Columbus to play the Blue Jackets, who are 36-35-4, 6th in the Metro. And then another back-to-back for the weekend. Sunday, they travel to play the Flyers, who are, again, 5th in the Metro. So this next week has 3 very winnable games. It'll be important for the Penguins to come out with at least 4 points. If they don't, they could probably see their seeding go down. If not to 5, they could... If the Islanders and the Capitals both play well, they could find themselves in the 7th or 8th spot in the, one of those two wild card positions. It's not something that they want to be in, playing either the Canadiens or the Rangers in the first round. But, again, we'll see how that transpires over this next week. We'll, and then, since I won't see, you won't hear from me next week, we'll have the 13th and the 20th to talk about all that. And by the 13th, when the 13th rolls around, it'll be their last week of the season. So we'll just have to see how it goes. Again, look for the offense to be generated through the star players now. You could see Malkin and Hornquist's contributions evident in these past two victories. I don't think it's a coincidence that they came back and they won two in a row. I don't think it's a coincidence. But you'll have to keep your eye on how the defense plays undermanned without Ehrhoff and Letang, and how the forwards adjust to getting, changing their ice time, I guess I could say. Because now it comes to where your stars are going to get a lot more ice time than they probably have in the regular season, because these last couple games are so important. So I'll leave it at that. After the break, we'll jump right into the Pirates season preview, and we'll do that for the last half hour of the show. On Sports Talk in the Berg, I'm Zach Lauffer, RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.
I really wanna stop, but I just got the taste for it. I feel like I could fly off the ball on the moon. So honey, hold my hands, you like making me wait for it. I feel like I could die walking up to the room. Oh yeah, late night watching television, but how are we getting this position? It's way too soon. I know this isn't love, but I need to tell you something. Everything you say is a sweet revelation. All I wanna do is get into your head. That we could stay alone, you and me and this temptation. Sipping on your lips, hanging on by a thread, baby. Late night watching television, but how did we get in this position? It's way too soon. I know this isn't love, but I need to tell you something. You could keep them. I don't know how to act or if I should be leaving. I'm running out of time, going out of my mind. I need to tell you something. Yeah, I need to tell you something. Yeah! Really, 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 really.
what would I do without your smart mouth? Drawing me in and you kicking me out. You got my head spinning, no kidding. I can't pin you down. What's going on in that beautiful mind? I'm on your magical mystery ride.
The regular season for the Pittsburgh Pirates 2015 season schedule starts April 6th, next Monday, with a three-game series against the Cincinnati Reds in Cincinnati. And again, like last season, they break it up, which is odd to me, but I mean, that's just how it is. Opening day is a Monday, and then they have an off day on Tuesday, and they go back Wednesday, Thursday to complete the series. And then Friday, they travel to Milwaukee to play the Brewers for a weekend series there before their opener, which is April 13th, against Detroit. The probable starters for the regular season opener for the Pirates and the Reds will be Francisco Liriano for the Pirates and Johnny Cueto for the Reds, a potential rematch of the 2013 NL wildcard game. And that's always a fun matchup because of the way that the Pirates won that game and how Cueto reacted to the fans. And it'll just be a nice atmosphere, even though it's not in Pittsburgh. But that is how we will start this season preview with that. So first, I want to go over what the potential starting lineup will look like for April 6th. And with it, I will give the 2014 statistics for each player, along with the 2015 projected stats via RotoWire. And So, leading off will most likely be Josh Harrison. Last season, he had a breakout year in 143 games. He batted .315 with a .347 on-base percentage and a .837 on-base plus slugging. He had 13 home runs, 52 RBIs, and 22 walks, going along with 18 stolen bases. Next in the lineup at right field, batting second, will be Gregory Polanco, the right fielder. And Polanco had a limited stint with the Pirates. He came out of the gate scalding hot, hitting successfully in his first 14 major league games, something only Roberto Clemente had done. But then the league caught up to him, and in 89 games played, he batted only .235 with a .307 on base percentage and a .343 slugging. He had 7 home runs, 33 RBIs, and he also managed 14 stolen bases in those limited appearances. So look for him to break out in his first full season in the major leagues. And of course, your perennial MVP candidate comes in at third, the spot in the lineup noted for having your best hitter. The third spot, center fielder Andrew McCutchen, most recently known for cutting off of his dreadlocks and auctioning them off, for charitable purposes. He now is rocking a faux hawk, I believe, so we'll see if the dreadlocks were really the source of his talent. Hopefully not. McCutchen boasted another MVP-type candidate year last season in 146 games played. Batted .314, that was second on the team, only to Josh Harrison, and fifth in the majors. He had 25 home runs, 83 RBIs, 84 walks, which was good for second in the National League, and he boasted a .410 on-base percentage along with a .542 slugging. And at cleanup, it looks to be like second baseman Neil Walker will get the start. Will get that start at cleanups at the fourth spot in the lineup. Walker, in 137 games played last season, batted .271 with a .342 on base percentage and a .467 slugging. He also had a career high in home runs with 23 and 76 RBIs. And he had 45 walks and 2 stolen bases. So even Neil Walker got on the stolen bases train. Coming up next in the 5 spot looks to be left fielder Starling Marte. Marte had a breakout type year last season in his first full season in the majors. Batting, where'd he go? Oh, there he is. 291 with a 356 on-base percentage, 453 slugging. Marte had 13 home runs, 56 RBIs, 33 walks, and 30 stolen bases, which led the team and was good for 6th in the National League. At the 6th spot is newly crowned first baseman Pedro Alvarez, moving across the diamond from third base after last season's sudden, I guess you could describe it as the yips at third, no longer able to throw consistently across even on routine ground balls to get someone out. So they decided it was best to move him over to first and have him catch the balls. Maybe that would ease the stress and give him more opportunity to bat in some more runs at first. Alvarez, last season, he only played in 122 games, batted 231, which was a regression, obviously, from last season or from the year prior, where he batted 250. He only managed 18 home runs as opposed to 2013's 30, 56 RBIs, and 113 strikeouts, which was actually surprisingly not even leading the team. Well, because of the reduced at-bats, I'm sure. So he'll look to rebound from that. Coming up at the 7th spot is shortstop Jordy Mercer. Mercer will more than likely get the starting job to begin the season. And if all things go well, he'll keep it. And Jung-Ho Kang will probably serve as a more Josh Harrison kind of role early on in the season. And maybe he'll be the Josh Harrison of last year and take over the starting job. But who knows? Well, that's yet to be determined. Last season, Mercer boasted, where'd he go? Oh, there he is. A 255 clip with a 305 on-base percentage and only a 250 slugging, or 387 slugging, excuse me. He had 12 home runs, 55 RBIs, and 35 walks. And closing out the batting portion of the lineup would be newly signed catcher Francisco Cervelli from the Yankees. Last season, Cervelli spent most of the year last season in the minors, so I won't bring up those stats. I will instead say what we are losing, what the Pirates are losing in Russell Martin, which was a 290 clip with a 402 on-base percentage and a 430 slugging. 11 home runs, 67 RBIs, and 59 walks. So it's not reasonable to assume that Cervelli will be able to fill those shoes. But if he could at least contribute a little more, because we would rather have Cervelli in the lineup, if you're a Pirates fan, than Chris Stewart. But that, again, we're not expecting Cervelli to come in and be the next Russell Martin. We're just hoping that he will contribute offensively. Looking at the projected statistics, again, brought to you by RotoChamp.com, the most notably, you could see that McCutchen, they're projecting him to bat 316 and hit for 24 home runs with 21 stolen bases. As opposed to the biggest drop-off, I should say, would be Josh Harrison, who they're thinking that last season was more of a fluke than anything. They're thinking he's going to regress heavily, batting 276, 11 home runs, 53 RBIs, and a .310 on base percentage. Polanco's looking at a .243 clip batting with a .309 on base percentage, 12 home runs, and 23 stolen bases. They have Pedro Alvarez projected at .233 batting with a .307 on base percentage, 28 home runs. So they're thinking that he's going to get a little closer to what he was in 2013. And 53 walks and 81 RBIs for Pedro Alvarez. Jordy Mercer and Cervelli look to have similar statistics, 261 and 251 batting, respectively. 12 homers for Mercer, 4 for Cervelli. And Starling Marte looks to bounce, capitalize on his breakout year last year, 286 batting, 349 on base, 13 home runs with 52 RBIs and 35 stolen bases, so an increase on that. Looking at the pitchers, along with the bench that the Pirates are looking to bring to Pittsburgh to start the year, which we can assume will be Jung-Ho Kang, Corey Hart, a utility guy, backup catcher Chris Stewart, second baseman slash outfielder Sean Rodriguez, and most likely outfielder Jose Tabata. But that is anyone's guess. It's yet, we won't really know for sure until they release their final 25-man roster the day before the season begins, April 6th. The projected starting rotation for the Pirates looks like this. Liriano will get the nod opening day. Then Garrett Cole looks to build on a season, his first full season in the majors last year. A.J. Burnett will take the third spot. It looks like Charlie Morton, even though he's injured as of now, will take the fourth spot. And the fifth spot is where the battle is taking place right now between Jeff Locke and Vance Worley. Locke has struggled as of late in the spring, so it looks like Worley has an advantage there. But we have to remember that you have two promising minor league pitchers that are rapidly getting through the system. One being Jameson Taillon, who was slotted to be the fifth starter in June when he would probably be called up last year before he suffered Tommy John surgery. So that took his career and set it back a little bit. He is looking for a return this May to the minors and maybe a June or July call-up for him. And also starting pitcher Tyler Glasnow, who hasn't played anything above high A baseball in his career, but he'll start the season in double A, and my guess is he'll be up the same time Jameson Taillon would be. But that's just a guess. The projected rotation numbers for, again, these players, and this is without Charlie Morton because he's hurt right now, again, by rotachamp.com. Garrett Cole looks to be the quote-unquote ace of the staff, going 12-6 with a 3.19 ERA, 154 strikeouts. A.J. Burnett would be, they're projecting him as the second starter, would come in at 12-8, 370 ERA, 1.34 whip. Francisco Liriano, 12-7, 3.47 ERA with a 1.29 whip. The whip is, again, the walks plus hits per inning pitched. Jeff Locke, they have Jeff Locke and Vance Worley in this projection. Jeff Locke they have going at 9-8 with a 4.12 ERA, not so good, and a 1.32 whip, while Vance Worley is projected as to go 8-6 with a 3.83 ERA and a 1.37 whip. So I want to play these two videos so you can hear two similar but different takes on the Pirates season for 2015. So here's the first one, brought to you by CBSSports.com. And this is the voice you're about to hear is Matt Snyder, a baseball writer. Okay, that one's not working right now. I have to reload it.
In a city of sinners,
no,
one team
that's
is
not
the
what
big
we want. Okay. Let me think. I'll just refresh the page. Okay, here we go. It's loading. There's an ad for 15 seconds. Oh, while we wait, I can mention that Dylan has just walked into the studio. Thank you for joining us, Mr. McKenna. Okay, here we go.
It was just a few years ago we were talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates desperately trying to just have a winning record and get that monkey off their back. Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com. Let's talk about the 2015 Pirates, who are in a lot different situation. After having broken that drought, finally, a couple years ago, and going to Game 5 of the NLDS against the Cardinals, the Pirates actually made a wild card run again last year, and were right in the thick of the NL Central race heading into the last week of the season. Now it's time for them to take the next step. They've gotten to the playoffs twice. Last year they didn't even win the wild card game, though it was at home. This time, it's time for them to win the division. And then it's time to not have to win that wild card game. And then it's time for them to get past the NLDS and back into the NLCS. Wouldn't that be something? I actually think that they can do it. I like their team a lot this year. I think the Cardinals are still a real good team. And I'm going back and forth on whether or not to pick the Cardinals or the Pirates in the NL Central. I think my final prediction, I'm going to fall on the Pirates. If for no other reason, just because it would be more fun. You know, we haven't seen the Pirates win the division since back in 1992. Now it's the NL Central. It's totally different. You look at their team right now, MVP candidate Andrew McCutchen. Love him. Think he's going to have another MVP caliber year. In fact, I think I'm going to predict him to win the NL MVP. Behind that, Gregory Polanco. Went through a little bit of inconsistency last year. That's to be expected as a rookie. He's going to have a big year, kind of a breakout type year. I love Starling Marte out there. Those three together have the chance to be one of the most dynamic outfields in all of baseball. Pedro Alvarez moving across the diamond to first base, I think it's going to free up his mind a little bit from his defensive woes. And he's really going to return to that but 30 homer type power. Across the diamond, Josh Harrison. Third base, one of the most electric and dynamic players, especially when he's on the base pass. Neil Walker at second. Kind of gotten to the point where he's underrated. I still like Jordy Mercer at shortstop. They're obviously going to miss Russell Martin behind the plate. That's one area where they're down. But I think the improvements from guys like Alvarez, Marte, and Polanco is going to offset that. The pitching staff, they're going to be a little better than last year. I like getting AJ Burnett back. I think Gerrit Cole's ready for his breakout season, the former number one overall pick. He's just getting into those prime years. Liriano, he can be a little bit better than last year, too. And the bullpen, it's a little more settled now. I like Melanson to, again, have a real good year as closer. Behind him with guys like Watson, they're a solid group. You're looking at a well-rounded baseball team. They've got speed. They've got power. They can hit for average. They can get on base. The pitching staff can keep balls on the ground when need be. They have guys who can miss bats. They're a well-rounded team. They're going to be in the top five in the National League in most pitching categories and most hitting categories, too. They're not as good as the Nationals, but they're up there as far as everyone else goes. So I like the Pirates this year. They're definitely going to the playoffs, and I think they could well win the first National League Central title in the history of the franchise.
Okay, so that was CBS Sports' Matt Snyder. And he brought up a lot of interesting points that that he picked the Pirates just for the sake that it would be fun to win the NL Central the first time in the franchise's history, because the last time they won the division in 1992, they were a part of the NL East, so it would be making history. Actually, one thing that I didn't even know until today was that ESPN insider, like big named writer and insider Buster Olney, who routinely breaks trade news, trade rumors, things like that, injury updates, on his Twitter feed, he posted his playoff predictions for this season, and I'll just read it to you. Quote, playoff predictions, AL, Orioles, Indians, Mariners, and the wild card Detroit, New York Yankees. NL, Nationals, Pirates, Dodgers, Wild card Cardinals, Marlins. Pitt to win World Series over Seattle. End quote. So if that doesn't show you how impressed the country is with the Pittsburgh Pirates this season, I don't know what else will. The fact that a big-named ESPN writer is – I can't even imagine. I can't remember the last time something someone that big predicted a team like the Pirates to win a World Series. I mean, they've called them to make the playoffs or win the division maybe, but definitely not something as far as the World Series. And over the Mariners of all teams, I thought that was odd. Again, looking at what Snyder had to say, he thinks that the way he was describing the season preview, he's saying that everything that went right last season with Harrison's emergence, with Starling Marte's breakout year, with Mercer being steady, with McCutcheon's standout year again, with the emergence of Polanco late in the year, and with Walker's best season as a major league athlete, major league hitter. He's saying that all those things are more than likely going to happen again. And while I have my doubts on all of them, especially the Josh Harrison thing, when you have a player that hasn't played a full season as a starter, and then all of a sudden, out of seemingly nowhere, I mean, Harrison was batting upwards of 240 in his career up until last season, where he posted that 316 clip that very nearly won the NL batting title. When you have something like that, you can't help but come up with skeptical analysis as to why it happened. And you have to think that at least some point in the season, even if he does end up batting at a 280, 290 clip, realistically, 316 is not feasible for a player like Josh Harrison over the course of 162 games. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll prove me wrong, but that's just my opinion. And it's yet to be determined as to how he'll handle struggling at the plate, for how he'll handle a slump, because you really didn't see him slump that often last season. So we'll see how he handles that. As for Polanco, in the spring, it looks like he's been able to make adjustments of his own after pitchers adjusted to him late last year. But this is going to be his first season as a pro, first full season as a pro, so you never know what to expect. So there's question marks there. McCutcheon, I think he'll have another, you know, I agree with him on that. I think even though the dreads are gone, I really think that he's going to have another MVP-type year. Will he win? I don't think so. But again, I do think he'll have another one of those type of seasons. Neil Walker, I think he'll regress a little bit from his career best year last season. But in that regard, I think it's okay, because you have the depth that they didn't have a season ago, in the infield especially. Varmus is gone, but realistically, he was a hole in the lineup. He was there for defensive purposes, and that was about it. With Mercer and Kang and Sean Rodriguez, you have infielders, middle infielders, I should say, that can hit for power, hit for percentage, and can also field. So I think, especially in that regard, they have an advantage over last year. The Pedro Alvarez situation, and I'm assuming that the transition from third to first will be smooth. That's never a guarantee. You can't just play a position your entire life and then go, you know what, I think I'm just going to switch across the diamond. Players, it's not it's not a 100% thing. Players have done it and been successful, and players have done it and been and have ruined their careers from it. You can look at the positive aspect at a player like Albert Pujols, who when he started his career at in St. Louis, he was a third baseman like Alvarez, and quickly transformed into a all-star perennial superstar first baseman. So if you want to look at it like that, you can say that maybe Pedro Alvarez will become the next Albert Pujols. Don't quote me on that, but maybe it'll happen. The two remaining positions, you have Marte and you have Cervelli. I think Marte will continue to build on his career. He's only 26, and I think that'll help. He's young enough to make adjustments in his game, and he won't get frustrated, I don't think, because last year he really came on. And even after he struggled early on in the season, and then after the All-Star break, he basically carried the Pirates through August when McCutchen went down with an injury, when he had to step in as center fielder. So I think that'll help him grow as a player, and I think he'll have another outstanding season this year. Cervelli, again, like I said before, is an obvious downgrade from Martin. And that's all I'll say about that. So this last video is from SI.com, SportsIllustrated.com. And it's only a minute, and it just looks at a different angle on the Pirates season preview. And after that, I will give you my rundown of the pitchers. And maybe if we have a little, we don't have time, unfortunately, for on this day in sports history. But we'll conclude with my predictions of the Pirates for the season. So here's the SportsIllustrated.com video. This is, you're about to hear Tom Verducci, a Sports Illustrated writer. Here again, it's just, see, I had these uploaded, ready to go, and now they're being difficult. Okay, reloading the page. Okay, there's a ad coming up here. A couple more seconds. Okay, here we go.
Pirates remind me of a good college football program. Pick like an Oregon, for an example, that has a system in the way they operate, and they just keep plugging in pieces, and that's the way it works. They've been able to turn around a lot of veteran pitchers, and they'll try to do it again with A.J. Burnett returning to the staff once again. And Francisco Liriano comes back, and I think this is a team that, because of the way they play, which is basically low-scoring games, keep the game close, rely on the bullpen and defense, this is a team that, to me, will once again be one of the better teams in the National League. Wouldn't surprise me to see the Pirates get out of the first round, which they've had a problem doing the last couple of years. Why? Well, I think offensively they'll continue to get better because of that dynamic outfield. Starling Marte, to me, has one of the cheaper contracts in all of baseball, will turn out to be an absolute bargain. You know that Andrew McCutchen is an absolute stud, who's one of the best all-around players in the game. And keep your eye on Gregory Polanco. The league made adjustments against Polanco late in the season, and he struggled. But when you look at his skill package, both offensively and defensively, he's got the potential to give the Pirates an outfield of three all-stars. So look for the Pirates once again to contend in that National League Central, and once again be a playoff team.
So there you have that. And again, that was Tom Verducci's quick pitch, the Pirates of 2015. Looking at, I thought it was funny how he compared them to the Oregon Ducks. I didn't really get much out of that other than that they built their system very well, that they could plug people in, and with their veteran reclamation project pitchers that they have been known of late to spew out, like Vance Worley, Liriano and AJ Burnett that any aging pitcher who wants to restart their career can go to Pittsburgh now. Looking at the staff, Liriano looks to build on the second half of his season he had a year ago, where he boasted a 2.2 ERA in the second half of the year and a 6-3 overall record. Gerrit Cole, although his ERA increased to 3.65 over as opposed to 3.22 from 2 years ago, he went 11-5 and he was injured. So if he can stay healthy, he can be the true ace of the staff, I feel like. And the rest of the starters, especially Burnett, he had a really bad year in Philadelphia last year. And I thought that was more because of the team he was on, not as much what he was doing himself. I mean, as a pitcher, you can only do so much. Your teammates have to back you up and provide run support for you in order for you to win and keep your ERA down. And the Phillies just cannot do that last season. So I think you can see Burnett come to the form, maybe not as well as a 38-year-old pitcher. Not as well as he did his first stint in Pittsburgh, but closer to it than he was in Philadelphia. And the whole Morton Locke Worley thing, those are the three question marks. But I caution to make judgments on the rotation so far, because that seems to be the critics' only real drawback of the Pirates this season. And I say that because if you look at it from last year, if you look at their starting rotation from last season, and I have it right here from opening day, you had Liriano, and then Morton was the second starter. Cole was number three. Wandy Rodriguez came in at number four, and Edinson Volquez was the number five starter. And people were criticizing Edinson Volquez from the get-go, including myself. His ERA in spring training of 2014, this is Volquez, was upwards of 9.5. So you couldn't have realistically thought that he would provide any upgrade over Locke or whoever else they would bring in, or Brandon Compton, who is now out for the season with Tommy John surgery, makes the decision a lot easier for the Pirates than the number five starter. But again, like I said, you can't judge a pitching staff based on their five opening day starters, like I did last year. And you look at what they did last year, Cole getting hurt, Liriano getting hurt, not playing well in the first half, Cole not playing very well in the first half. It was Edinson Volquez who was the most consistent pitcher throughout the year. Morton got hurt again. They didn't have Burnett. They relied on Compton and Locke and Worley late in the year. Sometimes Genmar Gomez grabbed a start. You had these ragtag starting pitchers combinations that somehow got the Pirates to an 88-74 record and hosting a wild card game. This season, they lost Russell Morton. They lost Edinson Volquez. But they gained an international signing who hit 40 home runs in the Korean Baseball Association last year. They gained a pitcher who's consistently started over 30 games in his career every season, except for one, where he started 25. They gained experience. They gained leadership. There's no reason for them to regress this season. And that is why my prediction of the Pittsburgh Pirates in 2015, I predict they will go 90-72. Coming up short in the NL Central, I don't think they'll win it. I think the Cardinals are just an abnormally, outrageously deep team. both pitching staff and offensively. Oh, by the way, you can't forget that the Pirates have one of the best, if not the best, bullpens in all of Major League Baseball with the 1-2 punch of Mark Melancon as the closer and Tony Watson as the eighth inning setup guy. Also, the emergence of John Holtzcomb last year will look to improve in his first year in a first full season in the majors also. So with that said, again, 90-72, second in the NL Central. They're going to win the wild card game, hosting it at PNC Park for the third year in a row. They're going to beat the Miami Marlins in the NLDS. And they're going to lose, unfortunately, in the NLCS, I believe, to the Washington Nationals. I'm not going as far as Buster Olney as to saying they're going to beat the Mariners in the World Series to claim their first since 1979. But I do think they will reach their first NLCS since 1992. So there you have it. That's my prediction. If you want to talk to me or comment on my predictions or give me your own, you can always hit me up on Twitter at Zach Loffer or use the hashtag STITB for Sports Talk in the Berg to get into the conversation. That was our first annual Pirates 2015 spring season preview. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Again, we won't be on the air next week, but I'll see you April 13th with Dylan McKenna. I'm Zach Loffer. This has been Sports Talk in the Berg on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.